There's a verse in Proverbs. I'm just going to read it. Proverbs chapter 6, if you want to just go over there for a minute. By the way, we're going to talk about warfare again today. I just feel that we need to do another message on that. If you you probably missed the other two, I hope you don't think that we're trying to repeat what we did. We've got some new things to talk about here today, but in Proverbs, oh, here we are, we're over in Psalms, got to go the other way. Proverbs chapter 6, there's a verse about deliver thyself. It's verse 5, but let me read the first few verses before that, starting verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger. What that's saying is if you made a deal somewhere that's got you into bondage, and in particular, they're talking about if you got into a financial trouble, okay? How many of you ever got into a financial trouble? You wished you hadn't, okay? You made a deal. In other words, he said, if you struck your hand. Now, in the old days, if you shook somebody's hand, you made a deal. You made a promise. You made a covenant. Nowadays, a lawyer would say you had to have it signed, you had to have it notarized, all that. No, the Bible says if you made the deal in your heart, if you sold yourself, if you did this or that, okay, he says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Now, we're talking about deliverance here today, all right? We're not just talking about that you got into financial debt. We're talking about other ways to get yourself in trouble. It says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Have any of you ever made a statement with your mouth that got you into trouble? Amen. You ever made a promise? You ever made a covenant? You ever made a curse? By the way, you can curse. You can curse with your words. Did you know that? Some of these cliches and sayings that people... Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I'll be D.A. damned? They're cursing themselves. Why would anybody curse themselves and damn themselves? And people just let these words flow off their tongue without thinking. You know, this will be the death of me. Ever hear anybody say something like that? Thou art snared, amen, with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth, okay? Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. Now, listen, I don't know what you've been taught about deliverance, but the 99% of your deliverance is going to come from something that you are going to do about it. Amen? Yes, we believe that we can help people be delivered. You know, and I have been involved in bringing people deliverance, probably people that didn't want to be delivered, forcibly delivered, because you have the power over these unclean spirits. You hammer at them long enough and you can get a spirit out of somebody. But you know what? If they don't want to be delivered, they're going to have that spirit right back the next day. And I tell you, I will rue the day that I ever did that, because I have, yes, I've been involved in helping somebody get somebody delivered and they didn't want to get delivered. And you know what? I'm going to read you in Luke. The very thing happened. Another spirit comes back and it's worse than it ever was before. All right, so it says, do this now, my son, or my daughter, whoever you be. Deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself, make sure thy friend, give not sleep to thine eyes. In other words, don't let another day pass. Don't go to bed until you've solved the problem. Amen? You know, the Word of God says, don't let the anger go down on your wrath. Did you know that? I'm sorry. Thank you, Rita. Yeah, don't let the anger. Well, don't let the sun go down on your anger. That's what I meant to say. Don't let the sun go down on it. What does that mean? That means when you're hot and angry, resolve the thing today. And you know what? If it's in your house, if it's in your home, amen, that lamp that lights your house is your sun. Don't turn that thing off until your problem is resolved. And this is what it means. Give not sleep to thine eyes, amen, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Amen. Now verse 5 again. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter. What's a roe? A roe is a deer. Get that deer out of here. Let him escape from the hunter, okay? And as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Okay, so we're talking about delivering myself. There's something I have to do about it. Now, let me read in Luke chapter 11. And I don't think we read these verses the other day. Pretty sure we didn't. But I want to read starting in verse 20. All right? Now, Jesus had brought deliverance to a demonic, and the people around him said that he was doing it by the power of Beelzebub. And Beelzebub is the prince of devils. The literal translation of the word Beelzebub means Lord of the Flies. Did any of you ever see that movie, Lord of the Flies? You never did? I don't know whether you can get a hold of it today. I saw it when I was in Alaska in 1964 or 5, maybe. They call it experimental film. But you know, that film is still quoted today by people who know. It's a bunch of kids, British kids, that somehow got lost, shipwrecked on an island. All the adults were... And they began to develop a society in which they began to murder one another. They were just kids. And they began to go wild, and they were ready to kill a very unpopular little kid. And all of a sudden, the British officers showed up and put an end to the whole thing. So, interesting title, Lord of the Flies, which is what these people were saying. In other words, they were saying that the devil got a hold of these kids. Unsupervised, without any parental, without any authoritarian guidance, the devil began to get in among them and cause a lot of destruction. I'd like to see that thing again. It's been 50 years since I saw that movie. I'm getting aside here. It says, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils. In other words, God is not putting devils out by the devil. And, you know, what that means is a house divided against itself cannot stand. And by the way, that's a quotation that Abraham Lincoln made when, at the beginning, when he was campaigning against slavery and the South was rising up against the North. He said, you know, Abraham Lincoln was a man who read the Bible. Did you know that? He was a wise man. And the people thought that they could control him, but they found out they couldn't. And the day that he died, again, he got up in the morning, he went to his office, he opened up the Bible, he said, I always spend a little time with the Lord before I go about my business. Would to God we had presidents today that would do that. Our nation would be a whole different nation. Amen. But judgment is come, so I believe that that's what we're going to have. Anyway, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, not the devil casting out devils, that would divide his house. And the devil, he may be crooked, he may be evil, but he's not stupid. Amen? Well, he's somewhat stupid to think that he can overcome God, but he's not stupid enough to have his own house divided against itself. He keeps discipline among his demons, okay? So, he said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. All right? So when you see the power of God able to do things like this, you must know that the kingdom of God is available for you. Amen? Now, by the way, where is the kingdom of God? Where am I going to find the kingdom of God? How am I going to see the kingdom of God? It is where? Within me. So that means we're going to talk about my soul. Amen? Let me read this thing. We're talking about my soul insofar as the kingdom of God. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, that means his house. One version said his courtyard. He's keeping his army around his palace, around his house. He's got it all surrounded. He's got it all. He's got a network to keep you away from it. Who's the strong man here? Who are we talking about? We're talking about the devil's kingdom now, right? Amen. If you need deliverance, it's because the devil has something in the kingdom of your soul, all right, that needs to be put out. Okay. If a strong man armed, by the way, what's the devil's army? What's his armaments all about? Remember a while back, and by the way, we have these new CDs here from the messages last year. And was it last year or the year before we brought, was it 13 or 14 messages on the devil's weapons? We're talking about his armaments, all right? We're talking about fear. We're talking about temptation. We're talking about, all these things that the devil uses, deception, lies. We're talking about all these things that the devil uses. It's all part of his armaments to keep you in bondage. Amen. What was the thing you were praying about here, Ellen, when you mentioned something? Doubt. Doubt. Oh, it was you. Okay, I knew it came from over here somewhere. Doubt. You prayed against doubt. All right. One of the armaments of the devil. Make you doubt. In other words, this is one of the first things he brought against Eve. Hath God really said? In other words, it made her doubt. Well, did I really hear God right? No. This guy must know what God said, you know. He says God didn't say it that way. No, this is why we have the written word of God. This is why we have the preserved word of God, because we will not doubt. Yea and amen, thus saith the Lord. This is what it says. This is what is written. But you see, men try to change those things that are written. Oh, let's word it a little bit differently. Let's have a little shade of different meaning to it. No, I want the meaning of what God gave when he said, thus saith the Lord. All right. So, but he that is stronger than he... Oh, wait a minute. I got to go back. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. All right. Well, they're not really in peace, but his network is unbroken. Now, for you, it's not very peaceful. But for the devil, his system is unbroken. Nobody breaks through, okay? But when a stronger than he shall come upon him... Now, who would be stronger than he? Yes, the power of Jesus Christ. And if we come in the power of Jesus Christ, we are stronger. Now, what did David say to Goliath? Goliath. Did I call him Goliath?
In the name of the Lord.
He said, you come to me, amen, cursing by the name of your gods, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Amen? And he is stronger than you, and he is going to defeat you, even though you be a strong man, he is going to bring you down. Amen? And your flesh is the one that the birds of the field are going to eat, not mine. Amen? Hallelujah. When a stronger than he has come upon him and overcome him, that's why we need to be overcomers, because we have the overcoming power of Jesus Christ in us. And overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor. So all these weapons need to be taken away from the devil. If fear is one of them, fear needs to be taken away. How do we take it away? We take it away by the word of God. There is no fear in Christ Jesus. Amen? In perfect love casts out fear. So we take it away by the word of God. Thus saith the Lord, there is no fear, and we're taking that weapon away. There is no doubt. We take doubt away. We take unbelief away. We take all these things away. I'm going to make a list of some of these things here in a little bit. He taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoils. Amen? That means we're going to plunder him. We're going to take it all away. Now, it isn't because I'm going to get rich by plundering the enemy, but I'm taking all his stuff from him. All right. Now, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. So you're either on God's side or you're on the devil's side, is what he's saying. Whose side are you on? Now, let me go to the next verse here. He says, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. Amen. Amen. Dry places are meant for demons, not for me. When an unclean spirit goes out of a person. Now remember, I'm going to show you here a picture of the soul a little bit, where these unclean spirits come in and where they want to dwell and how they get in. Okay? So let's talk about an unclean spirit goes out of a man. He goes through dry places. Now these unclean spirits are what? They're not fallen angels. These unclean spirits are disembodied human souls. They were once human beings. They could be your great-grandfather. If it's a spirit of alcoholism, it could be Great Uncle Louie or whoever he was. Great Uncle Howie, you know, whatever their names were. These are spirits. These are, you know what happens when somebody dies, okay? We know that. Let's review that again. When a person dies, if they're born again, if they're a believer, what happens? The body goes down in the grave, you bury it, the dust to dust. This that you're looking at, this that's me, that you think is me, it's not really me. It's just a bunch of dust here in the shape of something that you thought was Mark for all these years. There's a real me inside. And when this thing goes into the grave, the real me is my soul. And if I'm united with the Lord, my soul is going to go to be with the Lord. Now, God has also put within me a spirit. And the whole purpose of that spirit is, I call it a radio crystal tuned to heaven. Okay? It's a radio frequency that can only hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of God. Now, that little frequency has heard the voice of God quite a number of times over the years. I used to think I could never hear. But boy, he got through to me one day, and I really knew that I could hear the voice of God. Okay? So he can talk to you. He's given you a spirit. Your spirit is meant to hear the Spirit of God. So, Ecclesiastes says when a man dies, the spirit goes to God. Now, that's an unbeliever too. If he dies, his spirit, the spirit that was his, he's never going to use it again after he dies. He's never going to hear the voice of God. He's never going to see the light of God. He is never, ever, ever going to hear anything from God. His spirit goes back to heaven. Okay? It was only given to him for the purpose of walking on earth and hearing God. He never used it. Goes back to heaven. Now, his body also goes to the grave. But what happens to his soul? It goes to hell. Now, hell is sometimes a temporary place where these spirits wander around on this earth. In other words, there comes a time before they go, before they're sent to the abyss, that they are allowed to wander about. If you're hearing,
there's Sheol and then there's Gehenna.
They go to Sheol. Now there's a final hell called the Lake of Fire, which is Gehenna. And in the judgment day, the Lord is going to take all of hell and cast it into the lake of fire, and they will be in fire and torment forever and ever and ever. Now, this hell, some of them actually do go to hell now. Okay, we have cast some of these spirits into the abyss. That's the abyss. That's where Gehenna is. It's in the abyss. But their hell is some of them wandering about in dry places. Okay? And it is not pleasant. It is very uncomfortable. It is very dry. And these spirits have gotten, when they were alive, when they were men, they got certain pleasure out of certain carnal things. Let's take, for instance, an alcoholic. Okay? If he died an alcoholic, what's he going to do? He's going to go into someone else and try to get his satisfaction by when they start drinking and getting drunk and partaking of alcohol. So, in other words, they might follow a family line. In other words, it might be great-great-grandfather coming down to one of the great-great-grandsons, you know. He's going to be an alky. He's going to carry on. He's going to be a tempestuous, angry a wife-beating kind of character, just like great-great-grandfather was, you know. And by the way, if you think that you're here, if you think that you're communicating with Great Aunt Louise or something, that means that Great Aunt Louise is in hell. You will not be communicating with her if she went to glory. Now, I don't know that God has the power to send a visitation if he wants to do so, but this kind of seance calling up spirits, you're calling up spirits from hell, really, is what you're doing. So this spirit goes out. It says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he's seeking places of rest. Okay? These are spirits who have lived in the souls of men in the past. That's where they want to live. They might be thousands of years old. They might be hundreds of years old. They might just be from some past generation very, very near to you. You know, like some people say, well, like father, like son, he's got the spirit of his father. Well, maybe his father's dead and that same spirit wants to come into the grandson. You know what I mean? So, fallen angels, the devil himself, he does not want to live in a man. It's too confining. He's bound. And the only record we ever have of the devil ever getting into somebody was when he got into Judas. And he entered into Judas, and I don't know whether he was able to get himself out, but it seems like the only way he could get himself out of Judas again was to have Judas commit suicide so that he would be released from him and could go about doing his dirty business. Remember when the devil showed up in the days of Job and the Lord said to him, where have you been? And he said, going up and down and walking to and fro in the earth. See, he's going around looking for these places to get life. And the other thing is they can't get life. It's dry places, they can't get life. And they can't get much life from the unbelievers. They don't have much life in them. They have a little bit, but they don't have much. And what the devil really would like to do, what these demons would really like to do, is feed on a Christian, on a born-again believer. If they can get you to fall into sin, if they can get you to have a big hissy fit, you know, temper tantrum, they are delighted that they are just getting the biggest feast they ever had. If they can get you to fall into fornication, if they can get you to fall into drunkenness or whatever it is, fall into doubt, fall into unbelief, start cursing, they are delighted. And they're just getting the best meal they've had in a long time. And likewise, if they can drag you into bad health, they're going to feed on it. They'll get the blood wherever they can get it. You know, sometimes Brother Seth used to say, you see a lot of bloodletting going on in different places in the world. The devils are feeding. They're getting ready for some big thing. I don't know what's going on over there in Brussels and places like that. But these are devils feeding on human blood. Amen? Okay, so it says he's seeking rest. He finds none. He says, I will return to my house whence I came out. What is my house? It's the human soul again. I will go back to the human soul. So you get somebody to pray for you, deliver me from the spirit of thus and thus, whatever it is, deliver me from the spirit of anger, deliver me from depression, deliver me from lust, you know. Okay, so you get delivered and you say, oh, hallelujah, I'm free. Oh, this is so good, so good, so good, I'm free. Oh, I don't have that darkness over me anymore. I don't have that depression and oppression and whatever it is, suppression. I don't have it on me anymore. I feel so good. And then what do? You just say, oh, I'm going my own way now. I'm just happy, 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 happy. I'm going my way. But you know what? If you don't start filling that empty space with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit, amen. If you don't start filling that space, it's an empty, swept, garnished house. Let's read the description. It says, he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Just an empty soul. Nothing in it. No devils. No Holy Spirit. No nothing. Just an empty house. He says, hey, what am I doing? Wandering around in dry places. I'm going back to my house. Oh, and by the way, I've got 7 ugly friends I'm going to bring with me this time. Because they need a house too. And so he brings them back in. Then goeth he and taketh to him 7 other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, let's make a little drawing of the human soul again, shall we? We've got more verses. Oh, I see I drew it right here. So we'll just use the same outline here. All right, this is the human soul, right? And the head of the soul is what? What's the head of the soul?
The mind.
And by the way, the chief guardian, shall we say, of my soul is my mind. What I'm going to allow into my mind, what the kind of thoughts I'm going to think. How many of you know that your thoughts sometimes wander? Okay? We need to keep a guard on the wandering of our thoughts. When we find my thoughts, you know, and by the way, the devil is very happy to influence the thinking of your mind. Not every thought that you have originates from the things that you want to think. The devil has much capability to whisper, spiritual whisperings, muttering, peeping, what have you, to us. So, we have the mind, we have our will.
Wouldn't the will be the guard over all three?
Well, I think they're all guards, yes.
Because you have to determine.
We have our desires, right?
Mm-hmm.
What were we singing today? This is my desire. All right. If you have a desire, you have to say to yourself, I am going to desire the things of God. If you say to yourself, I'm going to desire the things of this world. Now, you may not consciously think that you're saying that to yourself. You don't sit down, take out a pencil and paper one day after you're born again and say, desires. Okay, I'm going to desire the things of the world. No, it just comes on you. You don't realize the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These things seem to be built into our fallen nature. We like the glitzy things. You know, where are they? They advertise something on the radio. Is it curtains or something? Blinds. And they call it eye candy. Am I right? Yeah, I thought I heard them call it. This is candy to the eyes. So they're saying this appeals to your eyes. So you should desire this. This is going to make you happy if we put these new blinds. And then they say, well, you have an old bathroom. You know, your bathroom is 20 years old. You need to upgrade that bathroom. What's wrong with my 20-year-old bathroom? It's functioning perfectly well. No, you need a new one. You need something that looks nice to your eyes, you know, appealing. Well, I'll shower the same way I showered. You know, I can have glitzy-looking bed covers and all that. Do you know what the difference between these $200 a night rooms and the $50 a night rooms? Do you know what the difference is? When you turn the light off, there is no difference. Bed might be just a little bit smaller, but basically, there is no difference. It's all the lust of the eye and the pride of life and that type of thing. That's going to make the difference. So, the things that we desire, all right? Over here we have the emotions. I'll just abbreviate it, E-M-O-T. Now, there's another side of this thing, and Rita, do you remember Tujoki was speaking on that in Luton? where he talked about the five gates. Was it the five gates of the soul? I think is the way he said it. So let me do another soul here. Right, here's our soul. How do things get into my soul? This is my kingdom. This is the kingdom. Is this going to be the kingdom of God? That's the question. If you say it's going to be the kingdom of this world, it's going to end up being the kingdom of Satan. Because his spirits are going to rule in here. Okay? This is where, when a spirit goes out and wanders in dry places and comes back, he's going to come back into here. Now, what are the gates? What are the doors, shall we say? Do you remember that little book called Man's Soul? Did any of you ever read this little book called The Man's Soul? Was this one of those that Bunyan wrote? I think it was one of the books that John Bunyan, remember? You know who John Bunyan is? What's the name of the book, Rita? Pilgrim's Progress. I think he wrote another book called Man's Soul, and I loved it. It's talking about the attacks that came against this fort. This he had was a fortified city. You know, it had a big wall around it, you know, and it had certain gates. And here's a gate right here, and it's called the Eye Gate. And the enemy would come around and he'd hold things up to this gate. You know, like if he was a young man, he'd hold up pictures of beautiful girls, or he'd hold up something, pornography or whatever. He'd hold these things up to try to see if he couldn't have some way to make an intrusion into the soul of this man. So in other words, we have to guard these gates. What are the other gates here? Ear gate. Ear gate. Let's put another one over here. Give me another one.
Seeing,
hearing,
heart.
No, these are the five senses. The five senses. Okay. Oh, let's do the feel here. Feeling.
Taste and smell.
Taste and smell. Okay. Now, granted, these are going to be the big ones, right here. These are the main gates here. This probably more than any, what you see. But aside from this, what you hear. Now, how is the devil getting into the? We talked about how he gets into this. You know, the eye candy, the pornography, the advertisements. All the advertisements you see in the magazines and everything else, they're appealing to this one right here. You don't open a magazine and hear something come out of the pages with your ears. You see it with your eyes. So what is television? Television is actually, you've got two of them working together with the television. With the radio, you've only got this one. But with the television and the movies, you've got two of them working together. Now, I don't think I've ever been in a theater where you can smell and taste what's going on at the same time. I would just, you know, I was thinking that the other day. You can smell popcorn, yeah. Well, of course, yeah, that's an appeal. And that one appeals, they want you to satisfy this one too. You smell the popcorn, you want to taste the popcorn. You want to fill your belly with popcorn, okay? You want to satisfy your belly. So again, it's a flesh-oriented thing. The feeling, the touching, yeah. What it is the advertisement tells you that if only you will buy these sheets for your bed, this will touch your skin so sweetly that you'll just sleep the most peaceful sleep. I mean, it's appealing to the sense of touch again.
And then there's the scripture that if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off.
Yes. Now, I'm going to have you give me, what we need to do is identify. We've heard the word here. In fact, I'll go over and give you another, let me give you another witness here from Matthew. Matthew, the 12th chapter, by the way, has almost the identical words that I read you from Luke 11. Let me go over to Matthew 12 so that you know I'm telling you the truth. We're going to start in verse 29. He's got it split up here. In verse 29, he says, "Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil the house?" All right, now, we talked in a couple weeks ago when we were reading from Hebrews. We talked about besetting sins. That we set aside every... Let me read the
every weight.
Every weight. I want to read it exactly the way it says it here. Chapter 12, verse 1. "Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about..." All right. Here's man's soul. "We are compassed about," it says, "with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now that means that these are the souls of the believers. They're not wandering about, but they're somehow watching us from heaven, if you want to use the term heaven, all right? They're watching us from a spiritual realm in God. They're watching to see if we are going to be overcomers. All right? So you may not believe that your soul is being watched. I don't know that God is going to allow your departed loved ones to see every time you fail, but somehow there's a corporate watching of us. Are the saints on earth overcoming? Are the saints that gather together here in Schenectady, New York, are they an overcoming group of people? Somebody must be saying, "The city of Schenectady depends on that group of people that are gathered there together." Or there's a neighborhood that depends on the overcoming of that people. There's a people there that is holding the torch of the testimony. Not every church is holding that torch of testimony. For many of them, that torch has gone out. So, it says, "We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and you can help me with it here too, because I'm not 100% sure, but I'm wondering, is this weight that easily besets us, is this the strong man? Can you identify a strong man in your soul that has kept you from walking in the high places when you know that you should have been walking in the high places? That has kept you from overcoming? That has kept you from coming together when the saints of God come together? Can you identify a strong man of some sort in your soul?
I'd say rebellion.
Yeah, I didn't even have that on my list. I knew that you folks were going to give me some names that I needed to put on the list here, okay? So I believe, just as he's saying, how can you enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods except you bind the strong man? In other words, if you know that you have been motivated by rebellion... All right, let me take smoking, for instance. I hope nobody here is a smoker. It doesn't matter. I'm going to say it anyway. Because smoking, the thing that got you into smoking to begin with was rebellion. You say, no, 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 no. My brother smoked. He just handed me the cigarette. I smoked, and I got hooked.
I know from experience, it's also anger.
Anger and rebellion.
Rejection is high.
Anger, rebellion, yes. Oh, yes, these all work together. Anger, rebellion, rejection. But I was shocked to hear this. This is before I really had much spiritual understanding. It was in 1970, probably about 71 or so. My boss at the hospital said to me, first of all, he appointed me to the American Lung Association. He said, I want somebody from the administration here to be on the board of the American Lung Association here in Glens Falls. So he sent me over, and there was a guy named Ken who was the man who was operating it and all that. And so the next thing they said is, we want you to have a smoking cessation clinic at the hospital. So I had to organize a clinic at the hospital where we opened it up to the community. Everybody can come in free. If you want to stop smoking, here's the way to do it. So I prepared one meeting. I had the pathologist of the hospital come in. And I told him, I said, I want you to tell everybody what dirty lungs look like when you cut people open that are dead. I want you to tell them what the difference is. Because the first autopsy that I ever saw, the pathologist was, he had these big shears, clip, clip, clip. He was clipping through the ribs, you know. That sounds kind of gory. Then he gets into the lung and he cuts it open and he says, look at this. And the lung was black. Little bit blue, but mostly black. He says, this lung, this guy was a smoker. This lung should be pink. He says, it should not be dark black and blue like this. So I had the pathologist come in, and I had a psychiatrist come in, a lady psychiatrist. Her name was Maria. And So I said to her, I want you to talk about what you know about smoking. And to my shock, she said, smoking is rebellion. Now, she was a total unbeliever. Total unbeliever. I think she had Jewish roots in her background, but as far as believing in Jesus Christ, she did not, absolutely did not. I know she had a Jerusalem Bible. That much I know about her, but for her to say, this comes from rebellion. And I thought, well, you don't need to hear it from a preacher. Hear it from this psychiatrist of the world. They know where it comes from. So you see how these things come in. What would that appeal? What would that smoking thing appeal to? It's going to appeal to a lot of these things here, isn't it? The advertisements. Here, let me erase the arrow. The advertisements, remember the Marlboro man? What did that appeal to? First of all, it appealed to the pride. This man was a proud, remember the, how many of you remember the Marlboro man? And you know, I have known young men that have taken on the spirit of the Marlboro man. Tough. Cowboy. I'm my own man, you know? Got big boots, big hat, big horse, big guns. I'm a smoker. It's what men do, you know. It's a pride. Pride of life. But that pride of life thing appeals here. I don't like the smell. Never did. I mean, my brothers smoked around me. They never hooked me. Never appealed to me. Somehow God put something in me to protect me from it. I don't know. Maybe I made little decisions when I was 4 years old about things I did and didn't want. I don't know whether I was old enough to. I must have been old enough to be making some decisions about what I would and what I wouldn't take. But anyway, there's a smell. There's a, oh wow, is there a taste? Is there a taste? How many of you saying yuck? But you know what? If you were a smoker, you like that taste. There's a certain sting, there's a certain tingle, whatever it is that goes with it.
Fire, it's some kind of pacifier, originally.
Yeah.
I worked with a guy who smoked 50 years, emphysema so bad he couldn't climb the stairs.
Yeah.
He's going out of a restaurant, ex-wife. This was not too long ago. Somebody's smoking a cigarette outside, and he says, boy, that tastes good.
He could taste it from another guy.
Yeah.
Smoking.
And he knew what it did to him.
Yeah, and it's destroying his life. It's destroying his body, but he'll keep right under. Alcohol does the same thing. It's the taste. It appeals to the eye. I'll never forget this preacher that was delivered from alcohol one time. He was a good preacher. I don't even know who these guys were. I just remember hearing their stories many, many years ago. 30, 35, 40 years ago, I heard these stories. I know they're real stories. But I remember hearing this man very clearly. He got born again. He was a drunk. He was an alcoholic. He hung out in these honky-tonk bars, you know, in the inner part of the city. He'd go there and there was an atmosphere about it all. And he became a Christian. He became a preacher. And he told me that he was in a car one day in one of the inner cities, and it was at night. And he came to a stop sign, and the windows were open, and it was summertime. And right next to where he had stopped was one of those bars. And he could hear the music, and he could smell the smells coming out of there. And he could hear the laughter of the men that were in there having a good time, and I don't know, probably some of them in there fighting, whatever they do in there. And he said, you know, that spirit got a hold of me. I thought I wasn't going to be able to move. He said, that old spirit got a hold of me again. And I wanted to go in there so bad. And I wanted to go back into the camaraderie of the men that were drinking. And I wanted to smell the smells. And I wanted to taste the taste of that beer, and I wanted to feel the spirit of these men and women that were around me, and it's in that atmosphere that men pick up women, you know, and so it's the one sin goes along with the other. It's all something that appeals to the feeling of the flesh as well. And he came to realize that whereas he was born again and even partaker of the Holy Spirit, he said, I realized that I really wasn't completely delivered from that strong man. So we're talking about a strong man. There was a strong man in that preacher's life that he apparently had never, ever gotten a victory over. Now, I'm saying this, I need to be a partaker of the same thing I'm preaching. I need to look at my own life. Is there something in my life that I have to let us lay aside these sins that easily beset us? And, you know, as don't be offended, I'm going to tell you the literal translation of these sins that easily beset us is fatty bulges. If I've got too many bulges, I'm not going to be able to run the race. It's going to slow me down. These little skinny runners that have been working out in the gym, they're going to be ahead of me. And I'm going to be back here laboring with my emphysema and my fatty bulges and whatever else it is that's holding me back. Amen? Now, let's make a list of what these strong men might be and how are we going to overcome them. Kathy, you started with the best. What were some of you started with rebellion? Let me put this. Rebellion. How many of you remember rebellion when you were a teenager? Does every teenager enter into rebellion? Probably to some extent, don't we? Mm-hmm. Boy, I thank God that there's, you know, if there are certain sins that you never partook of, there are certain things that you don't have to get delivered from. If you can get these kids to avoid certain sins, it's going to be a lot easier on them years from now, that it will not be a strong man in there. You know, just like I'm telling you, I never got into drinking and I never got into smoking. And that I know these are strong men. I've dealt with a lot of people that have those problems. I sympathize. I know what it's all about. Not from personal experience, though. Okay, but rebellion opens the door. And where's rebellion come in here? The will, the emotions, the desires. You see. And somewhere you make a decision in your mind. Do you understand how these things work? This kingdom, by the way, let me use a different color here. Why don't I use red? Okay. This Ezekiel saw this as a lion. He saw this as a man. He saw this as an ox. And he saw this one as an eagle. Right? And in Revelation chapter 4, we see these same things, except we see this ox has been changed to a calf. Now, what's the difference between an ox and a calf? Stubbornness too. Ox is very willful. By the way, when I say an ox, it's the same thing as a bull. I had a bull one time. He was a pretty docile fellow. But boy, when he had a notion he wanted to do something, I mean, he didn't get nasty and try to kill me or anything. He just went ahead and did what he wanted to do. I remember he got out one day, and I had this halter, and I chased him, and he was a sucker for a pail full of nice oats and food and stuff like that that smelled good and everything. I catch him, so I start leading him home. Back down the road you go, coming home. And he didn't want to go. So I happened to be right near a telephone pole. And so I wrapped the thing around the telephone pole. He said, "There, that'll stop you." You know what he did? He made a fool of my rope. He just goes like this. He turns his head. Rip. He ripped that rope. I said, "Boy, he's got more of a will than I ever thought." The only thing that rescued me, a guy came along with one of these trailers that you put horses in. And we put him, I shook my pail of food, we brought him into that trailer, and he took me home. It was only another block down the road. Took me home. And I said, "That's it. You're too willful a fellow. I'm getting rid of you. I don't need you around here." So, yeah, willful. And the lion, see, the lion is an emotional, rah, anger. Here, let's add anger to this thing, shall we? What were the others that you mentioned?
Rejection.
Rejection. Oh, we don't need to do that in red, but anger is a good one to do in red. Anyway, this lion nature, this wild, unpredictable lion nature, needs to become the Lion of Judah nature in me. Right? This ego, the mind, you see, we're talking about the soaring of our thoughts. Soaring off into this and that, and way off into the wild blue yonder. And all of a sudden we're thinking of horrible things that we shouldn't be thinking about. That ego needs to be tamed. And the man, there is no creature on earth that has more desires than a man has. You know, this bull, his desires were quite simple. I mean, greener grass, the other side of the fence, push his way through. He didn't care. He didn't care if I had electric shock or not. His skin was thick. Just push his way through. You know, his desires were simple. But man's desires, he has to change. He has to spend $2,000 to rebuild his bathroom because it's 20 years old. He has to spend a lot of money to get eye candy for his curtains and blinds because he's a man, because he has desires.
Didn't the Lord tell Brother Cecil desire nothing? He said, how can I
deceive? Yes. And you know, Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. That means there was no pride in him. There was no desire in him. He had no need to prove himself. He knew who he was. And when you can be like that, there nothing will be able to get into man's soul.
Desire to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father.
Emotion. What was that?
After anger, emotion. After the anger.
Oh, after anger, yes.
It deals with your emotion.
Anger is an emotion.
Anger is an emotion, yes. It's an emotion.
Sadness,
yeah. Depression. Depression is an emotion too. You know that? Now, you know, I think there are people in this life for whom depression is a strong man. You know, if you've never been bothered by that, you might have a hard time understanding. Why are you always depressed? I see no reason for being depressed. You should not be that way. But you know what? For some people, it's a strong man. It's a strong emotional thing. It's a darkness that has a hold of the soul. Quickly, you have a...
I can't say it quickly.
Well, just wait then. Yeah, just hold it off a little bit. Here, I have some... I put fear, right? Fear. All right, like that. Fear. You know, there are people who are fearful of just about everything. And along with fear, what's the one that people are afraid that somebody's always after them? Paranoia. Paranoia. Fear and paranoia. They go together. Always paranoid. There's always a conspiracy against me. It's just life. But you know what? You're gonna see what you want to see. Let me make another list here. Lust. What do people lust for? Well, the obvious. Okay. People lust for sex. What else?
Power.
Food. Where did I hear that one from? That was all over the corner here.
Brown.
You must be getting hungry. No. People do. People pursue these things with a vengeance. There are people make a career out of hunting. Hunters. Always out on the hunt. Always out. I remember Brother DeCille talking about a man that had been saved, had a good life, a good satisfying relationship and everything. And he decided one day he wanted to go out in the quote-unquote forest and go out on the hunt again. It was more exciting for him to make the kill, you know, than to have the domestic cow at home, whatever, you know. Money, yeah, okay. Money, that's greed. Drink?
Power.
Drugs?
What about immorality? Okay.
What was it?
Immorality.
Right here. In other words, it's not, it's that includes immoral sex as well. Okay? Includes immorality. But not exclusively. You know, there's certain things in life that we need to live and to propagate life. Okay? There's no children going to be born unless this happens. We're not going to live very long without eating. And we're going to live even less long if we don't drink something. So, yes, these are necessities of life. But if we have a strong man demon motivating these things, it gets all carried out in an inordinate way.
Something about lust and greed, where they're never satisfied.
Yes, right. And you know, the thing I would say to a young man is, look, you are born with a certain chemistry in your body. You can't cast that chemistry out. It's there. God put it there. He put it there for a purpose. You cannot get rid of your body chemistry. Well, people have tried, you know, and that's not what God has in mind. He has in mind that we will overcome it. We live with it. We're going to have to live with it. But we're going to have to carry it out in God's order. God gave an order for sex, and that's marriage. Okay? He gave an order for food, and that is that we eat to live, we don't live to eat. You follow what I'm saying? There are people who specialize in food. I mean, people have money, they go to these $100 meal restaurants. I don't know how you could ever eat $100 worth of food. But you go to some restaurants and there's $100 plate meal. By the way, you want to go to a politician's dinner, you might spend more than that to meet the whoever's running for president. On these, Hillary's? What were her dinner plates? It wasn't just food they were paying for. They were paying for something else. Yeah. Okay, so there's a list. Now, let's go back to this other list. And here's one. Here's one. Maybe it doesn't bother, but it does some people. Divination. Do you know what divination is? People say, well, I have a gift. I can see into your life. And, you know, sometimes a Christian might have been oriented toward the spiritualist side before they became a Christian. And then that same proclivity carries over into their Christianity, and they think they're a prophet now. And it isn't necessarily so. They might still be seeing and using an unclean spirit to show them things that are not being shown by God. Devils know things about people too. And devils are very religious. Oh yes. Devils can play that thing in Pentecostal circles or evangelical, whatever they're allowed to do. They'll play that thing. Some of you sisters that are maybe from the Mediterranean and some of these cultures, you've probably seen some of these things. You know, the spirits of Haiti, for instance, voodoo. Those are unclean spirits. And you know the sad thing is the Pope is recognizing them as being brethren in the faith. Anything spirit.
Isn't that a cult? All that?
It's a cult. Yeah, it's a cult. It's all a cult. If you've ever been involved in the occult.
That came down with my family on my mother's side. I had to get deliverance. It was strong.
Yes, you have to get deliverance from these things. I remember I had never heard of the... That thing you put in the newspaper? Horoscope. I never heard of the horoscope. And I'll be honest with you. I got curious about it. My wife had gotten curious about it. Oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this is why I'm emotional, this is why I go this way and that way. Well, I'll go look mine up. So I'm being a good old boy, so I bought her one of these little pins that had that symbol on. I'm not going to tell you what the symbol was. And then I heard the word of God, and I heard that these things were wicked. And you know what? I took that thing. I took it took it down cellar. I put the hammer to that thing. I started hammering on that thing. I was going to destroy that image. I hammered it until that little piece of metal was just as flat as could be. Then I took it out on the highway and I threw it just as far as I could throw it. No, we have to repent of these things. If we've ever opened the door, this was in the mind, open the curiosity to these things. You've got to destroy it. You've got to take the ground back. Amen. You've got to defeat. You cannot let a strong man get into your house because he's going to take over your house.
Those people that look for water.
Yeah, water witches.
Yeah.
Water witching. Yeah, let me take one more list here. I'll do it in another color so you can see the difference here. And I know we're way over time. The lust of the world. Well, what is there about the lust of the world?
Not what they have.
Trees. No. We're not talking about trees and ocean and atmosphere and environment and pollution. No, that's not what we're talking about. That's not the lust of the world. What is the lust of the world? Well...
Life.
Okay.
Life.
Yeah, money could be one of them. Okay. The lust of this world. What was it?
Power. She said power.
Yeah, well, we've got power. Okay, we've got a lust for power. But we're talking about specifically about the world. Now, Matthew chapter 13, where it talked about the sower sowing the seeds. What are the things that grow up as weeds and choke out the Word of God? Right? Cares? Cares what? Cares of this life. And here's where we... Do you know that your family, your kids, your mother, your sister, your brothers... These can be things that choke out the life of the kingdom of God if you let them. No, it isn't just somebody that rises up and says, "You're a cult." No, it isn't just that. It's the cares, the usual normal cares that we have. If this thing gets out of order, you start loving your kids more than you love the kingdom of God. You start loving your mother. You start loving your grandmother. I got to follow my grandfather. No. You put that ahead of the kingdom of God. That can be part of the cares of this life. It could be earning an income. It could be having a job. You put all that. You know... All of a sudden, you're not working just to support your house anymore. Oh, if I can only get ahead, I got to get more money, got to get more, got to get another job, get my wife a job, you know. Cares of this life, it's gotten way out of hand. Cares of this life, pleasures of this life, delights of this life. Just the things of this world. I mean, the things that we all do in this world, but it can have weeds that will choke out the kingdom of God. Let me add one more big one here. One more big straw man, and that's called religion. You know what? Probably one of the strongest ones. Stronger than alcohol, stronger than sexual addiction. Stronger than drugs, stronger than anger, stronger than what? Stronger than drink, yeah.
Dirt,
yeah. Stronger than, because it is dirt. And you know what? You know one of the reasons why it's so strong? Pride. Time is over. But I wanna say when you attack. When you attack this house, when you attack this thing, when the Word or the Spirit come to attack this thing, and there's a strong man guarding it, do you know what he does? He sends his mad dogs out to attack you. And you're going to get a flurry of anger. If I come over to you and say, "Sister," I'm pointing to an imaginary person here, "Sister, your family
has gotten way, you love them more than, I mean, they are interfering with the Word of God and the kingdom of God in your life. You've given yourself, whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, I'm going to get attacked if I do that. Yeah, they're going to send their Rottweilers after me. So you see, they're going to come against you. So you need to come against, you need to, let's go back to Proverbs. Deliver thyself. This is the Word of God. We'll pray with you, we'll help you. But God says, if you really want to walk in the high places, you're going to have to take a hand and deliver yourself. If you really want to be an overcomer, if you want to really be a son of God in the messages you've been hearing all these years, you're going to have to take a part and do something about it. God bless you. I think I've said enough.